Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. My name is Joe McCormick. I'm your host. We are in episode 402, and this week I'm going to delve into a topic which is really interesting. And the headline is Close Reading Leads to Clear Writing. Why are we doing this? Because I'm on a roll here. For the last couple podcasts, we've been talking about AI and my humanity first philosophy. And then that was episode 400 and then 401. We talked about your role as editor in chief. And then this week, we're going to talk about close reading, which is a term coined by a colleague of mine, Grace Aldridge Foster. And we'll talk more about her in a bit, but she wrote a piece for Forbes magazine, which is really great, about the role of close reading, and how English majors can teach us how to be indispensable in the age of AI. And she's an English major, so am I. And we're going to dive into that. If you're new to the podcast, I'm really happy that you're here. If you've just joined the podcast and this is the first time you've listened, I highly recommend you go back and listen to episode 400 and 401. Actually, in fact, I highly recommend you go back through the archives of these episodes. They're short, you know, they're 14, 15 minutes long by design. And I do this because I want to help you become a really deliberate communicator in an age where communication is becoming easier, but not better. In some senses it is, but in a lot of senses it's becoming what I might just call beige. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. If you've been here before, I'm really happy that you're coming back. And we have a very loyal following in the podcast, which I'm always excited to see more people subscribing. And just when I'm thinking about the topic this week, and it's all about close reading. What this really means is that we need to carefully consider the words, sentences, structures, nuances of writing that has our input, has our, it's our mind is affecting it. Like, okay, this is, okay, I deem that this is good. And what we talked about last week is your role as editor-in-chief is to really do what I call heavy editing. Well, where does heavy editing come from? It comes from close reading. You actually have to read the text. And I'm going to go back and talk about Grace's article, and it'll be in the show notes. It was written in the summer, in July. I've known Grace for many years. She is one of our instructors at the Brief Lab. She's an amazing instructor. We have incredible instructors, and she is among them. And she teaches Brief Essentials and Brief Writing Essentials. And she and a friend of mine developed a course called Sit Rep Storytelling, and she's just exceptional in so many ways, a leader in the space. And if you are ever interested in courses on writing from the Brief Lab, I would highly encourage you and your team to reach out, talk to us, because we have a position on this that can really help you step it up to the next level in terms of clarity and brevity in your writing. So when she wrote this article, she posted it on LinkedIn, and it really caught my attention. I started, you know, reading it more. And I'm going to walk you through some of the things that she said, and you can read the article. I highly recommend you read it because it's really insightful. It's very rich. Well, the first thing she says is that English majors are becoming the new best hire, which makes me feel happy because, you know, I studied English in college, and for a while I just deemed English majors to be imminently unhireable. When you majored in English, you were like, okay, well, what are you going to do? Go to law school, or you're going to go to grad school and be an English teacher? And, you know, I just liked English as a major, but I didn't know what its applicability would be in the real world. And, you know, honestly, full disclosure, for the first, you know, few years of my career, I struggled to figure where does an English major fit in? Well, nowadays, it's all the research is pointing towards English majors have all these skills, and one of them is critical thinking, which is really, really important. And where that critical thinking comes from is because we spend countless hours reading and reading and reading, you know, the great writers, you know, Shakespeare and Hemingway, and the list goes on and on. And I sat there and read and deciphered and looked at sentence structures. And when you read great writers, you can't help but to start admiring the decisions that they make in putting a sentence together or a paragraph together, and how you stitch that whole thing into a book is just absolutely fascinating. Yeah, certainly there's some writing, you know, that you read that's very old, and, you know, I had to read Chaucer and translate that, and you know, some poetry, you know, wasn't necessarily my cup of tea, and everybody's got their own tastes. But when you read a lot, you have this, you develop these skills, which she talks about in an article about understanding the word choice and the significance of this word versus that word and how it sounds and alliteration and repetition and syntax and style. And you start to really chew on this stuff a lot. And, you know, this is not what people who are in science and technology and engineering and math, STEM people really do a lot of, but English majors do. And nowadays, this critical thinking coming from close reading becomes very valuable. Why? Because AI produces writing, and it actually, at first glance, it looks good, sounds good. Here's the risk. The risk is when you produce something in AI and you don't do what we're espousing, which is humanity first and be the editor in chief and be a close reader, like actually sit in the text and read it. It sounds good. I mean, it sounds good. I mean, it's grammatically correct. And I wrote this in Quiet Works. There's a whole chapter on AI, and it really immediately everybody becomes a good writer because it's impossible to be grammatically incorrect. I mean, it hallucinates and it says stuff that's maybe not even true, but at first glance, it looks good. It's the best first draft you've ever written, honestly. And when people who've got a limited attention span and are really busy and they scan and skim the writing, at first glance, it sounds good. And it's like, good to go. And then you send it off. It's like, like I said in the last podcast, you do that at your own peril. Well, let's go back to the things that Grace is talking about in her article in Forbes about this skill that I want you to really develop, which is sitting and patiently reading something that has been written. In this case, it's been written by AI. Maybe it's a white paper, maybe it's a report, maybe it's an analysis. And this skill of close reading, it requires sustained attention. And this refers back to the book Noise that I wrote, which is people can't, you know, living and leading when nobody can focus is the subtitle of that book. And Quiet Works, which is being able to work for sustained amounts of time alone. Well, close reading is that skill. It's what she describes as sustained attention to a text combined with critical thinking about it. And it's a discrete skill, she says. But it gives you a deeper understanding of what's actually being said and what is the insight and what is the point that you're making. And at the surface, if you don't do that close reading and you kind of let it pass, the risk is it comes across as being what they call AI slop. Which it doesn't have a unique character to it. It's just sort of generic, but it looks good and it sounds good. So I'm going to walk you through, you know, some things to do and practice in the spirit of what Grace calls close reading. And it does require you to slow down, which is very difficult for a lot of people. People are busy. So when you scan and scan an email and you take a quick glance at it, everything's good, and then you hit send or you say good, you're not getting it to the meat of the matter. So the slowing down in her article she talks about leads to a payoff. Why? Because most people read in a hurry, so they're actually not doing this close reading. They're just sort of skimming over the top and they're not going deeper. And if we can slow down, this is why when I wrote Quiet Works, it's like you have to retrain your brain to like be patient. and read the sentence and then reread it and then start. So the first thing is, you know, you got to slow down. And the second thing is be critical, like reread the sentence. Why did, is that the right word? Is that the right order? Is that too long? Is it too short? What really needs to be said right now? And there's a reward for that patience. And critical thinking is the thing that you can uniquely put into a text if you sit in it long enough. Well, if you're too busy and you're antsy and you're grabbing your phone or whatever, you're not going to be able to do this. And your writing is going to be generic. And you're going to lean heavily on AI to do the writing for you instead of with you. And you're going to stall. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I've sat in libraries for hours and hours and hours developing the skill. And I developed the skill when I was writing and editing my writing and editing things that we wrote as a company when we were a marketing agency. And it requires your brain and time and focus where you are coming it with a mindset to saying, just because it sounds good doesn't mean it's good. So be honest, like it may need to be reread sentence by sentence, word by word, and you got to stop and think about it. Highlight in the margins. Okay, is this, I worked with a guy once that would move sentences around freely when he would edit because he was critical about like the structure of an idea. Well, if AI just kind of generically created the structure, it's not super critical. It's grammatically correct, but it may not be the best or even that good, quite honestly. So what Grace is talking about in this article, and she writes beautifully, is that, you know, reading is the task itself. You have to sit and read it. So if you're in a managerial position or leadership position and somebody gives you something to read and you're busy, you're gonna miss it. You have to slow down and be critical and read it and then grab your red pen and be the editor in chief and really try to extract what are the insights and the nuggets and the goodness there, if there is any at all. And you may find out that it's just kind of going blah 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 and it sounds great, but there's actually lyrically, there's no lyrics. The song doesn't say anything. It's just like listening to a cheesy love song that has been poorly written, you know? It's like, so you can't scan, you gotta critique. And I think the big thing when I read her article is that, you know, people are going to be thrust into this role where, you know, AI can create, it's generative, you know, right? It's generating a lot. It can generate a lot of noise. At first glance, it doesn't look like noise. It sounds like music. It sounds beautiful, but it's actually not. So you're going to have to do a lot of reading. Like I can sit in an AI interface and generate pages and pages. Well, I got to go back through and read it and critique it. Okay, what is the point that's trying to be made here and what's going on? Or I cannot do that. And it just sort of go, well, that's fine. You just pass it along. And going back to this is the third episode in a row talking about this, is like humanity first here. So let's not forget your role in AI is singular and it does require discipline and it does require a decision to slow down. And I'm not doing this to promote books, but I mean, I would go back if you haven't, and I would read noise to understand how difficult it is for your brain to do this. Understanding all the things that are challenging and competing for your attention, I would go back and read noise. And I would read Quiet Works, which is really all about the value of doing deep work alone without distraction and disruption. That is exactly what Grace is talking about in this article, which I'll put in the show notes again. And the last thing I'll just say, you know, obviously slow down, be quiet, be critical, and then just read great writing. You know, I think one of the best ways of sensing this is just reading good writers read good writers. So I have a little short list, but you have other lists, and C.S. Lewis is a great writer. I would read anything that he wrote. He's a really great writer. Hemingway. One of my favorites is a guy named E.B. White. He wrote a book of his essays, which I would highly recommend, but whatever you think is, you know, considered to be great writing or what you've read before, reread it and kind of get in this mindset of like, okay, what does great writing sound like? So This topic is near and dear to my heart. I can't thank Grace enough for all the work that she's done with us as a close colleague of mine at the Brief Lab, and also writing this article, which is real. It's true thought leadership. So developing the skill of close reading will give you an eye for excellence. It will. And that will have you stand out as a writer, as a reader, as a critiquer, when everybody else passes off good writing that's not good and misses the boat. Just saying.